The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Can you keep up with the latest fashion trends while also trying to save money and be sustainable? Well, sustainable fashion expert and founder of So Sustainable, Miriam Keegan, says yes, and she joins me now. You're welcome to the show, Miriam. So we should all know how to sew, do you say?
Yeah, just a bit.
So what's your background in sewing and being sustainable in this way?
Yeah, so I suppose it started back, like, I learned how to, I grew up watching my grandmother being a dressmaker and watching her with her little sewing box beside her. And I was always fascinated by being able to turn a sheet of fabric into something you could wear. I'm actually wearing something I made myself. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, it looks really original, but it also looks so well finished. So you are clearly a dab hand at this.
Yeah, yeah, I studied. Did, and then I got very lucky to go even work at the Oscars, tailoring Vanessa Hudgens' outfit for the red carpet in 2022. And I think for me, it's been always about the craftsmanship and being able to really create something really beautiful and original. And for me, that's been my mission, is to teach Ireland how to sew, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like, for a consumer, the easiest way to be as sustainable as you can when it comes to this system. That's,
well, you mentioned the Oscars, and what an incredible thing to work on something like that. But is that what most people see as a tailoring fitting into sort of the upper echelons of fashion? You know, someone who's having something custom made.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but I do believe that we all have the power to create our own pieces. You know, I think that craftsmanship is, you know, when it comes to tailoring, the skill is, you know, you spend years building it. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody can learn how to sew a button. And,
yeah, you're, you know, talking about bringing it back to basics.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think, you know, in 2020, I actually gave up buying any clothes for a whole year because I had this kind of rhetoric of fast fashion being like, buy more, and then sustainable brands being like, you'll only be sustainable if you buy from us. And I was like, hold on, I need a bit of a palate cleanser here. And I really just went back to basics and used what was in my wardrobe. And I realized that to be the most sustainable you can be is actually just shop your own wardrobe. And mm-hmm. we all have wardrobes that are bursting at the seams, essentially. But, you know, the system of the fashion industry is based on creativity and expression, and we need to use that for that avenue in order to propel sustainability even more, because fashion industry only thrives in, you know, overconsumption, exploitation and exclusivity. And that's where I think, when even working at these exclusive events, made me feel like I was an outsider completely, and that I want the fashion industry to be for everybody. And I think it has that space.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. Like, you have fast fashion, which, you know, a lot of people are rejecting now, probably not as many as need to. Mm-hmm. But then if you fall into the other trap of buying more of the sustainable brands, you're saying that's also a trap.
Oh, absolutely. And because, you know, no brand is ever going to be sustainable. Like, that's not, it's a bit of a overused word anyway. But I think, you know, they all have to make a profit in order to sustain themselves, to keep going. But I think consumers need to realize is that do not ever let a brand be your moral compass in how you navigate sustainability and what that means for you. And for me, it's like, actually, you know, we're all in a bit of a tight crunch with money. Spending more is not going to be the answer for you anyway at home. But, like, you know, we're just still using more and more resources from the planet that we're not actually putting back in a regenerative way that's actually going to improve our climate.
So, and that's all fine, but yet we still want to have nice things.
Absolutely.
So how do we do that?
I know, yeah. And like, I'm the biggest, you know, a slave to fashion, in the sense where I love my trends and I love looking at Pinterest and looking at all the street style out there. And I use that, but I'm just being much more savvy in how I do it. I'm not, you know, you see all the trends now are like cycles. They're all coming back, Y2K, 90s. And, you know, this summer you're going to see ballet flats big and pedal pushers or capris, you know, are going to be huge again. And, you know, what we're doing is we're allowing these high street brands practically resell a trend that was something that's probably in your mother's wardrobe if you looked hard enough. And instead of buying it straight from the high street and just being a carbon copy like everyone else, go and use Vinted or eBay or Depop and look up, like, things, you know, like the 90s kind of trends or the ballet flats, or even like vintage Karen Millen is a big thing at the minute, because people are really looking for that kind of whimsical kind of, especially for like wedding outfits and stuff, like that kind of whimsical kind of flowy chiffon dresses and stuff. And those are the you know, they're there. We just need to know how to use these apps.
Vinted is hugely popular at the moment, along with the other ones that you mentioned. But some who are invested in sustainability criticize that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, look, you're still flying items around the world. You're asking trucks to deliver them. But are you saying that that's less of a problem than buying new?
Oh, I still think that's circularity in the in its most rawest form for consumers. Yes, we need to just use more of our outfits that are already in our wardrobe more times. Like, I always try to tell people, like, you are worth more than the last outfit pic you put up on Instagram. You need to really, you know, value the clothes that you're wearing, because they're not coffee cups. Mm-hmm. They're not things you can just throw away. And when I teach people how to sew, it can take them nearly 20 minutes to sew a button for the first time. And that in itself, sewing a button for the first time, will teach you more about the fashion industry than any documentary out there.
Why?
Because it really slows you down to, like, just actually, you know, the dexterity of using your hands in a way that you never
threading the needle.
Literally, it is the biggest barrier for people. And that's like on any of the workshops I host for adults is literally, okay, I'm going to show you how to, you know, the correct amount of thread you need, how to sew, how to thread the needle, how to tie it at the end, how to start your stitch, how to then make a few stitches and then finish it. They are the biggest barriers, because once people get over that hurdle, then they can be more creative. Then they can start using YouTube and tutorials and stuff like that to actually make their own pieces. And I've seen people go on, and I do it even for schools where I've taught hundreds of teachers how to sew for the first time, so that they can bring it into the classroom now to teach kids how to sew. Because I think that's where we need to be able to bring back those skills, that, you know, those homegrown skills that are part of our history massively.
Well, we were taught how to sew in school. I remember being taught how to sew. I was really bad at it. I never really picked it up. And I would be able to sew on a button, but that's probably the extent of it. Do you think that a lot of people are like that now?
I know my generation, when I was in school, like, we were not taught how to sew.
Okay.
And I only did maybe home ec for 1 year. And then I just didn't do it. And a lot of my friends wouldn't know how to sew at all. And I know, like, I was a primary school teacher for 5 years as well, and I know it's not being taught in schools either. So that was my mission, was to, like, I set up a sewing club when I was in the school. And, you know, you could just see the creativity that came from the children, from being able to actually use a different medium that wasn't just your typical paint or your clay and stuff like that, but actually using the fabrics, because it's something that we are all attached to. We all wear fashion, even though most people, maybe men, say, I don't care about fashion, but we all wear it. We're all connected to it. And, you know, fashion has such an expression piece to it, even political, you know, where even we saw President Connolly wearing purple on the day of her inauguration. That was such a symbol of strength and women's rights in that alone.
So you're saying that if you're using a fashion brand to define who you are, you need to pause.
Yeah. Big time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you don't connect your identity to certain brands.
So coming back to sewing then, are you teaching people how to sew by hand all of the time? Or because you see in the middle aisle now, there are all sorts of machines for sale, from the big ones to the handheld machines. And I often look at them and I think, would it be much easier for me to fix a hem if I had that thing in my house?
Yeah, the handheld ones, I'm a bit like not so sure about how good they are. I've never really tried them. But the sewing machines that you get in like Lidl or Aldi and all that, they're great. And I always say to people, don't spend huge money on machines. But I actually only teach really hand sewing. I can teach machine skills too, but it's honestly threading the needle that can be the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. It's like just the barrier of, like, getting over your own mind. It's like mind over matter a lot of the time. So that's the main thing.
A lot of us probably aren't going to be making our own clothes.
Like,
that is a particular skill that you probably need your kind of background to be able to go down that road. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about is the basics to fix things, like the hem, like the button, so that you can not put that piece of clothing into landfill, which is what's happening.
Yeah. It's the reality, and that's probably why a lot of things are staying in your wardrobe, because you're like, oh yeah, I'll get to that someday, you know. And that's the reality, is not there.
I have a special department in my wardrobe for things that need to be fixed.
Yeah.
So what you're saying to people is, learn how to do the skill.
Yeah.
And fix it.
Yeah, like and from there can come the creativity, because even if there's like a stain, you could actually do embroidery on top of it, or add a patch and have, you know, you can have invisible mending or you can have visible mending. There's two different types, and, you know, the visible one is the more creative one, and it's kind of like, you know, a badge of honor. Like, look, I'm actually trying to be a bit more sustainable. Here's a big patch on my jacket because there's a hole in it, and this is my attempt. And, like, I love to see that in people. And, you know, it even goes back to when I was like a teacher. Like, I used to always say, like, I love love mistakes. And like, I used to have a chant with the kids, like, what does Miss Keegan love? And the kids would try and back, Miss Keegan loves mistakes. And it's like giving people permission to be messy with it. I think that's the important piece.
Well, that's the way you learn.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
So Sustainable, and So is spelled S-E-W, Miriam Keegan, teaching people how to sew on that button or fix that hem. Miriam, thank you very much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you, Claire.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.